Good morning, everybody, and welcome to the Rangers Review morning briefing for Monday, the 20th of March. I'm Derek Clark, and I'm joined this morning by the cheesy face of Joshua Barry. How are we doing, Joshua?
I've not had that before, but I'll take it.
I meant to say cheery and cheesy came out instead, but hey-ho.
Either's fine. No, I'm good, Derek. Looking forward to looking back on the game. It always feels like when we speak on a Monday morning and the game was on Saturday lunchtime that we're speaking about a game that took place a week ago, but we are, of course, not. So I'm looking forward to getting into it.
Yeah, good Rangers win at the weekend on Saturday lunchtime against Motherwell. Before we do talk about it, folks, a few things to mention. First of all, if you want to subscribe to our YouTube channel, that would be greatly appreciated. Nearing 12,000 subscribers on there. That's totally free. If you hit the notification bell, you'll never miss a video when we go live. And you can see the ticker below if you're watching us on YouTube, Facebook and Twitter. We've got an offer on the website just now that is absolutely sensational. Just £1 for 3 months worth of content. And if you also sign up, you're in with a chance of winning 2 director's box tickets for the home match against Dundee United on the 1st of April. Head over to rangersreview.co.uk/subscribe for all the details and to sign up. It really is a brilliant offer, folks. Just £2.99 per month after that 3 month period. But even at that, it's still an absolute bargain. But yeah, do get involved. I assure you won't be disappointed. And a quick word for our podcast sponsor, Seneca Hair Restoration, the top guys to go to if you're looking for a hair transplant or anything at the top of your head that you want to maybe boost some lost self-confidence. Then these are the top dogs, as they say, in Europe. So go and check them out if that is what you're looking for. Right, Joshua, let's talk football. Good win for Rangers at the weekend and maintain that 100% away record in the league. As is the norm, though, with Rangers, they like to make life difficult for themselves, going a goal behind for the umpteenth time this season. Kevin Van Veen scoring for Motherwell, but Rangers responded. James Tavernier with a well-taken free kick. Fashion Sakala then headed home just at the start of the second half before Beavis McGabby levelled matters for Motherwell. But Todd Cantwell scored from close range for his first Rangers goal. And Malik Tillman, the substitute, rounded things off with a fantastic finish for around just over 20 minutes to go. And that is how it ended. Main takeaways from the game, Joshua, if you want to get your comments across, folks, please do so. We'll touch on as many as possible. But what was your main takeaways from the game on Saturday?
Yeah, I think it's the 8th time that Rangers have fallen behind under Michael Beale. But you kind of, even when that goal went in, I don't think there was much panic because it's another game where Rangers have scored 4 goals away from home. And, you know, Derek, it's another game where they've scored 4 away from home. And unlike the Hibs game, they weren't brilliant. I think they were in control without having a really a brilliant first half performance. Obviously, towards the end of the game, it kind of becomes a bit of a training game when Motherwell go down to 10 men. But, you know, Fashion Sakala was probably Rangers' worst player in the first half, and it takes him 2 minutes in the second half, and that's what he gives you. And I think that's what Beale's got right. You know, if you don't have a player like him, players who are going to get you, pardon me, those final third numbers, these games become more difficult. If you do have a player who, yes, he has his drawbacks and he's not going to look great in possession at points, but he's going to get you goals, then it changes the nature of these games so much. If you look at the timing of when Sakala's got his goals and assists away from home, I think that kind of demonstrates how important a player he's been in these types of matches. Todd Cantwell, again, the standout for me, and interesting to see Malik Tillman then come on and play slightly higher up. It's something that we spoke about last week, Derek. I think Tillman would enjoy playing higher up the pitch. I think he did well in that number 8 position, but if one of those two is going to be pushed higher up, then let's be honest, they both have to play because they're two of, if not Rangers, 2 best players at the moment, then I think it will be Tillman. So, I think lots of positives to take away from it. Poor concessions of goals, but that's going to happen at points. But yeah, 4 goals away from home, an 8th successive away win under Michael Beale. And Rangers really haven't made a habit of winning away so regularly. I think the longest Gerrard winning record away from home was 9 away from home. So Beale's almost kind of catching up on that as well. But certainly over the last year, they had not made a habit of that. So yeah, more of the same, 4 more goals away from home. And obviously they go into the international break with a win as well.
Yeah, right, lots of comments coming in. Let's get to a few of them. Just touching on Cantwell, Peggy mentions, great to see Cantwell get a goal. Looks a promising signing. We haven't seen 50% of him yet. Michael Beale was touched on Cantwell in the post-match press conference. He was asked, is Cantwell a growing influence? Yes, he is. Last week was a tough week with three games, but he's playing really well. He's been used slightly differently to how people thought he would be in terms of getting his numbers and goals. He got a nice assist last week and scores today. I'm delighted for him. He's had a really bright start to his Rangers career, and he knows there's more to come. That's the exciting thing. That is the exciting thing, Joshua, isn't it? Because, he looks like he's been here for years. He just seamlessly, him and Raskin have just breezed into the squad. Of course, Raskin not available at the weekend. But Cantwell, for me, I've been really, well, I'm going to say pleasantly surprised, but I knew what a quality player he was. We know he sort of lost his way a wee bit in the last couple of years, but I think he's going to be a right cracking player for Rangers, and like you say, I think deservedly, I think most people's man the match at the weekend.
Yeah, you know someone's a good player when they're getting booed by home fans after about 4 minutes in the door. But you're right, Derek, because he arrives at 24 having had a couple of really good years in the Premiership and the Championship. So I don't think it was ever a question of technical quality, but how many times have Rangers signed a player or any team around world football for that matter, and you go, if it works, if you can get them fit, et cetera, et cetera. There's always caveats attached to that. And I think the only drawback towards the Cantwell signing was people had those type of caveats. But I think really quickly he's shown that isn't necessary. He needed this move to work, I think, as much as Rangers did at this stage in his career. He was coming here to play football, to, I'm sure, have a big couple of years and then earn a big move back somewhere and kind of get his career back on track, which had fallen off the trajectory he'd set for himself as an early youngster playing for Norwich in the Premier League. And it's not new now, Derek, to discuss his off-ball work, but I think the thing is, if you're a player who is so good on the ball, makes players better around him, I think, like, he always looks like he has more time on the ball than his teammates. You can just tell that he's played at a higher technical level than the Scottish Premiership, but you can match that all with his off-ball work. Similarly to when you're playing Tillman in the midfield and you can get that goal threat. Obviously, we see Cantwell weaken with that goal, but I think you're seeing him get into the box more in the final third, something that he discussed after the game, speaking to Sky Sports, I think it was, as well. And he was saying that Tav had been hammering him to get into the box, and he obviously does that to get the third goal. And he still only played, I think it was his eighth or ninth start, if that. So still very early in his Rangers career. But yeah, I mean, I think that midfield role has to be his from now on. Not because him and Tillman won't fight it out, but I think it makes more sense to try and include them both. And I think playing Cantwell slightly deeper, he's more suited to that. He's more of a ball progressor. Whereas we see with Tillman when he comes on, and I think as we've seen throughout his whole time at the club, he's a finisher. He's excellent in the final third. And Rangers needed him in that midfield role. And Michael Beale thinks that the number eight is going to be the position where he can maybe reach his full potential as a player. And he'll know better than any of us if that is the case. But I think between now and the end of the season, he's got an interest and a good problem to work out how you play them both together. And seeing Tillman slightly higher up the pitch for the last kind of 20 minutes was maybe a bit of a sign of things to come.
Yeah, there was talk on the chat last week about there's a few suggestions people would like to see Tillman up front. Denzel says, I think Tillman is fabulous further up front, quick feet, quicker mind. Cholak didn't have as great as the games at the weekend, it's fair to say. Alfredo Morelos, I've got to say, looked bright when he came on. Yeah.
This is just the merry-go-round, isn't it? And it's like the goalkeeping situation where, until Rangers have a player in there that they're just going to play every week, there's going to be able to... I think the long-term strategy has to be that Beale gets a player in who's going to be able to get a lot of goals domestically but still contribute in open play. And that allows you to play Tillman, Cantwell and Kent, because obviously I know Tillman's going to get a lot of goals, but Kent and Cantwell probably aren't going to get tons between them throughout a league season, but they'll do other jobs for you. But Tillman, I think if he's playing in a front two, I mean, you can't take Sakala out of these games away from home, because although at times he frustrates, his numbers are so impressive. But I think more at home, definitely. And then you're maybe looking at how you can include them all in there. And then it goes back to that conversation where Morelos gets an assist and suddenly you're thinking, oh, well, will it be Morelos and Tillman next week? And I think that's just the reality of, one, when you play so many games, but also when you have players like Sakala and Cholak who can have that brilliant game against Hibs, 10 days ago or something? Was it a week and a half ago? But then have that first half where they look like they've never played football together before. And then obviously Sakala goes and gets a goal right after the break. So I think that argument will always persist until there's a set choice number one striker, in the same way that you've seen that kind of happen in goals as well.
Yeah, lots of comments suggesting that they like to see Tillman up front. Simple Simon had a pie, says Tillman goes up front for me, and he adds big, strong, and all the technique you need. And John Turner agrees. He says Tillman used as a second striker. Hugo Pierce says need to play with Tillman as a forward as he can score goals. Let's touch on a few more that are coming in. Well, Ian Ross raises a point. Big talking point from the weekend, VAR, he says. What about those offside VAR lines?
I'd say look at Johnny's Twitter, Ian, because he explains it better than me.
Yeah.
I did see that debate raging on, but I'll let Johnny do some tweets and explain it to me.
Yeah, of course. Beavis McGabby, the Motherwell player, and Stuart Kettlewell not too happy with the third Rangers goal and the lines being drawn. But I echo Joshua's point. I'm not going to come on here and talk about VAR. Let's talk all things Rangers. Good point here from Graham Morrison. He says, Ben Davies again strolled the game. Great partnership with Goldson.
Yes, Graham.
And Tolson came in and showed his class. Got to sign him up. Echo that, Graham. And Davies, he's one of those ones. Whenever I'm doing the player ratings, Joshua, it's always... the word sort of breeze through the game, composed, yeah. Strolled it has been used a lot. He's another one. There are question marks some folk aren't convinced about his defensive capabilities. But for me, I think he's been brilliant and for the most part, and he certainly has built that partnership with Conor Goldson really well.
Yeah, you've got to ask, I think, what is... in a game like that for Rangers, what is a centre-back's main role? And Davies will have weaknesses to his game, just like Goldson does, just like any player, I think, at this level does. But I think Graham's spot on because he strolls it again. See, if you watch the third goal, it all starts from Davies carrying the ball into midfield, but he waits for the right moment to pick a pass. He doesn't carry the ball like a defender. And he plays those types of passes so often. And obviously that's a bit of a simple action, but it's all these actions that lead to goals. And you know, having watched Rangers domestically for the first half of the season, everyone will know that creating chances is by no means a certainty, because if your team's not set up to do that, then obviously opponents in the Scottish Premiership are going to limit the space you have to play in. I think Davies is still, you know, within what, 3-4 months of really starting his Rangers career after Michael Beale came in, but I think this narrative that he can't defend, I don't think he's a dominant defender. I don't think he's a brilliant aerial defender, but what did you get in return for that? And over the course of the season, what are you going to get in return for that in terms of what he can give you on the ball? You've got to, I think, ask on the other side, would you rather have a player who he might win every single duel and he might come off the pitch having been through a battle every single game, but he doesn't give you anything in possession. He doesn't help, you know, the team progress up the pitch. Because Goldson obviously can play those long diagonals over the top, but I don't think even Goldson steps into midfield like Davies does or plays those passes into the feet of the striker. So it points into next season. I think even with John Souter there, it's important to have a different profile of centre-back at times. You know, you remember that Kilmarnock game where Davies loses a header in the last minute. I can't remember who against, to make the game 3-2 and Barisic isn't there behind him. I think there is a time where if balls are just getting shelled into your box, you do just need big physical players to deal with that. But for the majority of domestic fixtures for Rangers, it's about creating opportunities. It's about attack versus defence in some form, obviously, to different degrees away from home or at home. And I agree. I think he's hardly put a foot wrong in a lot of games. And obviously, that has to be taken into context. He will make mistakes at points, but once he makes one mistake, you can't discount all this evidence of what he's done week upon week kind of in the Scottish Premiership. And I know Rangers didn't get a clean sheet of the weekend and they're still conceding sloppy goals, but I think going into next season, you'll probably see the best of him when he's had that full pre-season, which he hasn't really had the last couple of years. I think he's kind of acknowledged that in a few press conferences so far.
Yeah. Let's get to some more that sort of caught my eye here. Interesting point. Let's touch on Ridvan, of course, came in for Borna Barisic. Andy Mitchell says Ridvan looked well during the game, and Jamie Hunter echoes that. He says, looking forward to seeing more of Ridvan. Glad to see a defender actually make a tackle instead of shadowing the opposition player. What did you make of his performance? For me, he looked like a player that's not played for 5 months, Joshua, yeah. But I think that the run of games that he gets is going to improve of that there's no doubt. But overall, Red fan for you?
Yeah, well, after about 15 minutes, all he'd done was kind of cross balls in from deep, and I was thinking, you know, he's obviously been watching Barisic a lot because it didn't look that different. But yeah, I agree, obviously, it's his first game back in a long while. There was one moment at the start of the second half, or maybe the end of the first half, where you saw him run inside the pitch and he took a shot on his right foot when he maybe should have passed it. But yeah, I don't think you can judge too much off of it. Coming back from a serious injury, I think he's obviously going to be Rangers' long-term left-back. It's just a case of whether that happens between now and the end of the season. It is interesting how Michael Beale adapts his setup, because obviously Barisic is always the widest player on the left. He's quite often isolated and crossing the ball into the box, whereas I think, as we discussed, I think before the game at the weekend, Ridvan's qualities, I think, demand a different type of approach on the left. I think he'll combine more with his teammates, look to kind of break teams down by way of passing instead of crossing, which I think Rangers need, because it can be too cross-reliant at points. But yeah, he is going to be that left-back. It's just a case of when Derek and between now and the end of the season, I'd like to see him get some more game time, because I agree, I'm excited to see a bit more of him.
Yeah, good to see him back in the Rangers jersey. But just slightly left field, but this is a nice comment from Nicola, who gets in touch. I took my 5-year-old to Ibrox on Saturday and managed to see some of the players. I took photos with him, but Fashion and Beale were amazing with him. Made his day. I love to hear stuff like that. That is great to hear, Nicola. Good to see that. And it's sort of, it's a day I'm sure that your kid will never forget. Just a point I wanted to raise on this. We touched on it, I think, with Stevie Clifford last week. Burns gets in touch and says, morning from Melbourne, lads. If funds are an issue, sell Hadji to buy term, and personally think it's good business. We touched on it last week, I think. Was it? I think it was.
Probably last week. They all blend into one there. Recently.
Yeah, so this was a question that someone raised, and we touched on it. I mean, Yanis Hadji didn't go on at the weekend. If funds are an issue, Joshua, if that is at the conundrum, Hadji or Tillman, what camp are you in?
Yeah, well, it's obviously if, because we don't know if those funds have been ring-fenced. I mean, I think it's pretty obvious that I've been in the buy Tillman at all costs camp. Yeah, I don't think there's much debate around that. I don't think Rangers are going to get a player of his ability, but also potential at 20 now, 21 next season. Still in his first professional season, you've got to remember that. How many players, you'd imagine every player will be better in their second professional season. I also would like to see Hadji play domestically, because I think it was last week I wrote a newsletter on him. You know, that 55 season, his numbers were really impressive. I think he gives you something different, because Rangers don't really have a midfielder from central areas, and maybe they do a bit more with Raskin now, but they don't really have a player like Hadji who can kind of split open defences and play those reverse passes. He's obviously two-footed, and he can do that from central areas. So I don't actually think you've seen the best of Hadji for, you know, well over a year and a half, because before his injury, he was playing a position that it just didn't suit him, and I know he wasn't kind of hugging the touchline in the same way as Kent, but he wasn't playing in a central position. He didn't have runners ahead of him. So I'd like to think that there's a role for both of them in the team going forward, but the point is fair, because you've also got Tom Lawrence to come back in that position. Then you've got Alex Lowry. So Rangers can't carry that many players in that position going into next season if Tillman stays. Obviously, we don't know about Kent, and no guarantee that Tillman's staying, because we've not been told he's staying yet. But it is a busy area of the pitch, so there will have to be some movement, you'd expect. But I'm sure as well, Beale will want that. You'll want players having to play for their future, not only this season, but kind of always having that, because for the first half of the season, Rangers didn't have that competition. They didn't have any options, let alone a couple of extras. So it's a much better position to be in if they do have those type of discussions externally.
Yeah, Bob says, play Tillman up front, room for a Hadji. It's an interesting point. Listen, it's international break now. The players go off, a number of them, to their respective national teams. Rangers back in action on the 1st of April. Of course, there's the Legends game on Sunday coming up as well, if you want to head along to that. But still plenty of stuff to talk about when it comes to Rangers. This is an interesting question from Maka. He says, morning all. Joshua, can you explain Kent's new role in the front three system on Saturday? Michael Beale said he asked for something different. Did you notice that?
Yeah, I think the something different was kind of in line with Tillman and Morelos coming on, and then obviously when Rangers move to the back three and you have Kent hugging the touchline. But it's a good point about Kent's role. I think when Sakala and Colak have played, Kent's role's been different to when Morelos and Sakala have played, because Colak and Sakala have played more as a front two. Obviously, it's still quite flexible. But if you look in the first half, in the weekend, Ali McCoys was obviously kept referencing the fact that Colak was really deep in the pitch and was kind of doing a lot of tracking back. That's the same, I think, as the Hibs game, where he, in this system, if you have, normally if you have one central striker, you have the kind of two number 10s who won't track the fullbacks per se, but they'll be the ones that cover down either flank. Whereas in this system, if Kent's a number 10 and you've got two strikers, then the two strikers, Sakala and Colak, I think have more kind of defensive responsibility to try and block the passes to the fullback. And then, as we've seen in the Hibs game, there's that space for them to attack down the side of the defence, which is obviously best shown for the for Colak's goal when Sakala gets down the side of the left, Colak makes his run off the right. I think it suits Kent well, and although he leaves the game without an assist at the weekend, it's his passes for the third and the fourth goal running through the middle of the pitch to kind of slide the ball through for Sakala for the first goal and then for the third goal and Morelos for the fourth. And again, that people will look and still at Kent's goals and assists to judge him, which is fair to a degree, but I think his performance upturn is kind of undisputed. And also, Derek, you know, there's such a difference between when Kent picks the ball up in the touchline and he's got two players there and they're both set to face him and they know where he's going to be and where he's going to pick the ball up. If you look at that third goal when Davies plays the ball into Kent, and it's worth a look because Kent makes a really intelligent run, but his marker can't kind of prepare for that in the same way. He's in the middle of the pitch. It's an area closer to goal. So although, yeah, his goals and assists maybe still aren't where you need them to be, firstly, I think he's a different type of player. He attracts a lot of players to him, and he's often the one playing that pass before the assist, because, again, both those goals don't happen, especially the third one, if Kent doesn't make that kind of run through the centre and release the Sakala.
Yeah, yeah, interesting point. And just sort of off the back of that, Colak often played on the right-hand side on Saturday. Thomas McCrimmon says played on the right a lot and deeper, wasn't his best game. Ian Ross said, do you think Colak was played out of position on Saturday? He did play, it was interchangeable at Easter Road and it worked well. At Fir Park though, Joshua, I mean, he never had his best of games, did he? It was just one of those days. But then, as we touched on with Morelos coming on and looking sharp, yes, and it's a selection headache time again for Dundee United.
I don't think he's played out of position. My theory would be that Colak's just a really kind of enthusiastic player off the ball and maybe still adapt. Because there's moments in the Hibs game, normally you don't really see Rangers front three. Obviously, they have a really important role to kind of keep the shape, but the whole idea is they're kept high. And I think when Beale calls it something like a game of cat and mouse, because if the opposition are going to commit their fullbacks forwards, Rangers are going to defend with a structure that still allows them to attack the three players high and narrow, which, again, I think you've seen work basically in every away game so far. And it is being ballsy and keeping a few more players up the pitch, but doing that within a structure that doesn't allow them to play through the centre. So I don't think it was too different at all to that Hibs game, because if you look at that Hibs game, there's a good few moments where Colak is making kind of defensive actions in his own half. I just think when he's not playing as well, or when the performance isn't as polished, obviously that comes to light a little bit more. And probably something that's still being refined, because he's only played, what, 3-4 games under Beale? And you're right, as we said earlier, the kind of merry-go-round of Rangers number 9, I think, will exist until the summer. But it is important. I know we were, some people were probably confused at Beale slightly contrasting Morelos' comments last week. But if Rangers can have him as kind of fit and strong and ready as possible between now and the end of the season, it will give them a better chance, especially, I think, in those Old Firm games. Because when you look ahead to those Old Firm games, who do you want to play up top? Do you want to play Morelos and Tillman? Do Do you want to play Sakala and Morelos? It's a big decision, but I don't think you can have necessarily Morelos and Tillman on the bench when you go to, especially when you go to Hampden on the 29th. So it was good to see Morelos come on and look sharp, but it just, we could be having this conversation after the Dundee United game and it's the complete other way around. And Morelos has started and Cholak's come on and look sharp. I just think until the summer, until there's a decision made there and there's a clear idea of who's the first choice striker, that will just kind of persist.
Yeah, if Morelos is back fit and firing, then it can only make it to the benefit of the team. Another striker that is constantly linked with the club, world's greatest DJ Race, is that I'll get your view on it, Joshua. He says, I see that McBurnie is still being linked with a move to Ibrox. Is this just paper talk, lads? Of course, he is out of contract in the summer at Sheffield United, scored at the weekend, and congratulations to Sheffield United beating Blackburn Rovers to make the semi-finals of the FA Cup, where they'll play Manchester City. And well done to Stuart McCall, of course, who's the assistant manager there, and Wes Fodderingham, who is the goalkeeper. But McBurnie, of course, self-confessed Rangers supporter. I've got to say, Joshua, if this is a freebie, I would happily take him. I've seen him a few times. He's a decent enough player. I'm not entirely sure he'd be paying over the odds, but if you're bringing them in on a free transfer, then I'd certainly be open to that.
Yeah, I guess obviously if Sheffield United go up, then it's maybe more likely that he stays down there. But I agree with you. He's obviously, again, a player that's played Premiership football. Don't know much about him, haven't watched much of him. Watched a couple of Sheffield United games earlier in the season. There was that one game against Burnley where they scored, I think, from like four corners in one game. And he obviously fits a certain profile of forward. But don't know much about him. Obviously, he's going to be of a ability that where he could come and play in the Scottish Premiership. Beale said that he has his striker. He's identified him already. Again, at his press conference last week, he was speaking about players he's identified. He's referenced clear decisions that he's made that will be communicated in the summer. So certainly internally, it seems like he's made those big decisions. It will just be a case of, you know, when we get to find out about them.
Yeah, one to keep an eye on, no doubt. And there will be whole host of players linked to Rangers in the summer where we expect a bit of an overhaul to be taking place. One player that wasn't playing on Saturday was Nico Raskin. Craig Marshall says, any update on Raskin? How serious is his injury? Of course, it was a slight quad issue that Michael Beale touched on in his pre-match press conference. He said he would assess him on the Friday, and it was decided not to risk him. Of course, he's now away with the Belgium under-21s on international duty. The fact he's been allowed to go away with his country, Joshua, tells me it's nothing serious, but not worth risking him at Fir Park. I've got to admit, I was slightly concerned how that would affect the Rangers team on Saturday. But fortunately, they got the job done, but I don't think it's anything major, and touch wood, that is the case.
Yeah, no, it certainly didn't sound like it at the press conference on Thursday either. And in the end, Jack kind of plays a little bit higher. I thought he had a pretty good game. I think he's more suited than Lundstrom to play in that higher role because he can carry the ball. And as well, should mention now James Tavernier on 98 Rangers goals, Derek, which should, as he said himself, I think he probably should have got 100 on that day, certainly with the way that the kind of last 20 minutes worked. But I know it wasn't a corner, but the set-piece goals, whether that be free kicks or indirect free kicks or corners, have taken such an upturn under Michael Beale. And another example of that the weekend, even if it was an individual effort to kind of get the game back level.
Yeah, there was a brilliant free kick. I know that people are questioning Liam Kelly, the goalkeeping there, and it's fair to a point, but to get it up and down like that takes great skill. And on free kicks, it's just he's been absolutely sensational for Rangers. He really has, and got them out of a hole after going behind. And then his assist for Sakala was sublime as well. So, well done to James Tavernier at the weekend. And only a matter of time before he hits goal number 100, which is quite astonishing. Okay, folks, I think that'll do us there for today. Thank you to everyone for getting in touch with the programme. It is very much appreciated, as always. Just a quick reminder, if you want to take advantage of that offer we've got on the website just now, just £1 for 3 months worth of content on the site. That in itself is brilliant, but you also get entered into a draw for two director's box tickets for the upcoming home match against Dundee United. You'll head into the brilliant main entrance up the marble staircase. You'll have pre-match and post-match hospitality in the Blue Room, as well as the best seats in the house to watch the game. So head over to rangersreview.co.uk/subscribe to sign up. Big thanks to Joshua. We'll be back again tomorrow. But until then, enjoy the rest of your Monday. Bye for now.